to another episode of Laundry, Yard Work, and Jesus. I am Pastor Joe.
And I am Pastor Josh.
And it's been a good week. I hope you guys are enjoying life. Hope you're enjoying some of this new spring weather. Josh, my kids are enjoying playing outside again. It's 70 degrees. It's exciting.
It is exciting. It is. I have to admit, I am sad to see the cold weather being leaving us, but it is nice to see the kids playing outside. That's helpful.
It's good for my soul to get 45 minutes to an hour and a half of peace and quiet while they're playing outside. That is, it's glorious. It's great. Necessary.
Yes, we recently put up a trampoline at our house, and perfect timing because they love that thing and they're out there all the time.
Has anyone gotten hurt on it yet?
Nothing major, just tears.
Do you know which one will get hurt first? You don't have to say, but do you know which of your kids, like, okay, it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, I've got a hunch.
You got a hunch?
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Yes.
I know if I had a trampoline, 100% which one it would be. 100%.
Yeah, this is a good time to remember that a trampoline has sent one of my family members to the hospital in recent memory. So it's a fun time. But hey, they love it. And here we are.
Yeah, we are here. And kids are going back to school for most kids. Our kids are homeschooled, so they didn't really get a spring break. But we got a late break in like January and February. We kind of took a advantage of homeschooling is we can go on vacation whenever we want. Our kids did understand that they didn't get a spring break. I'm like, but you don't get both. You can't have an extra week in January and an extra week in March too. But how are you? You guys happy to get back into the routine?
Yeah, I am thankful to be getting back into some form of normal, which is nice. Routine is really helpful because we don't do well without it, and we'll be up till really late at night. We're up early in the morning. And so when we have a routine, it makes that a little bit easier to manage.
Were your kids happy to go back to school?
No, not at all.
Of course not. I taught one of our classes this past week, one of our Bible fellowship classes for the kids. So we did prayer time. And at first it was like, okay, for my pet or for my grandma or all that. And then one person said, oh, for school, because we have to go back this week. And, you know, in unison, everyone's like, oh, yeah, pray for school. It's terrible. Why do we have to do this? And you know what? I understand that, right? Like,
I get, you know, you're off for a whole week and having to go back, it's just a miserable thought. And now you're going back to finish. I think I was told there are 40 days left as of the recording of this. And, you know, that doesn't sound like much, but it's a lot from time to time.
It is, especially after. So there's like 170 days in the school year. So if there's 40 days left, that means you've already done 130 days. So you're tired. You're worn out. A lot of times, even when I was teaching, because I used to teach second grade, even me, they're just like, why are we coming back after spring break? Why don't we just not do spring break and then just quit school in the middle of April, like right before Easter, and then just be done with it? A lot of time spent in May watching movies and getting extra recess.
Well, and that is a good point. It's this catch 22, right? Because there's very little educational time spent after April, it seems.
There's some. I'm not saying not.
Yeah.
Tests and things like that.
Yes. And so it's kind of, as a parent talking to kids, it's like, hey, you're not really doing anything hard. Just go to school. And then they're like, well, if we're not doing anything hard, why are we even going? And it's, oh.
Because mommy and daddy have to work and we have to have a place to put you. That's kind of why the school system exists.
And when the summer gets here and you're begging to see all your friends, remember,
yes,
that's where they are.
That's where they are. Exactly. So it's honestly, as we were just kind of talking about that, I was thinking about that. It just kind of made me realize, like, for our kids and for us, like, school is a grind. There are times where it's like where it's exciting to maybe get started. It's anxious to get started. You learn things. You got field trips. You got projects. But right around this time of the year, it's like an actual chore, a grind on your soul to get up, get your kids up, get them going, and go and finish strong. And honestly, that just kind of reminded me why we named our podcast what we did. You know, if you're listening to us, one, we hope this is a blessing to you. This is why Josh and I are, we're neighbors. We can just talk whenever we want to. We're hoping to invite you into these kind of conversations, but we call our podcast Laundry, Yard Work, and Jesus because laundry never, ever, ever, ever ends. And now that spring is on us, yard work is going to be a constant weekly battle to keep bushes trimmed and grass at a good level and all that. But also following Jesus is something we're going to do till he comes back for us or we die and go to him.
Yes.
But more morbidly, you know?
That is very true. And in the middle of all of that grind, as you put it, man, it can get weary. And especially when you feel like you're just doing the same thing over and over again. And sometimes we just need encouragement. And I hope that's what this podcast does, is it brings encouragement and also gives some tools to get through another day sometimes for the glory of God.
Absolutely. So, I was just reminded of Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, but in due season we will reap if we do not give up." And I think there's just some really key things there. First off, you don't see the harvest if you quit. You know, that last phrase, if you don't give up. A lot of times we take that first part. Don't get tired of doing good. Don't be weary of doing good. And we'll stick us make that throw that on a t-shirt or a poster or a motivational post on Facebook or whatever. We're like, yeah, don't give up doing good. That's right. We're gonna hang in there. We forget the last part where it says, you know, that only works if you actually don't quit. Don't give up on it. Because the little things matter. The praying for your family with your family matters. Going to church matters. Reading your Bibles personally and as a family matters. And it's so easy to let a day slip, and a day turns into 3 days, and 3 days turns into a week, and a week turns into 3 weeks, and 3 weeks turns into 3 months. And then you're like, okay, well, now we don't do this anymore. Now it's lost, and we've given up on it just because we got tired of it.
I have a friend who he always likes to tell me the problem with following Jesus is that it's so daily.
Yeah, it's
And
great.
it's true in so many ways, whether it's raising our kids and pointing them to Jesus and all of those just little things, or just ourselves in our own personal devotions. That's what makes it hard, is it just keeps coming day after day. And I love what you have said in the past and remind us often, you remind me this often, is that even though that is there daily, God is also there with you each day. And that is a point of hope, at least for me.
Oh, absolutely. Because we do have bad days. We do have times when we are all too human in front of our kids, and we don't feel like we are worth or worthy of this responsibility. Like we can't, sometimes we feel like we can't be the spiritual leader and hold everything else together at the same time. And the good news is that there is so much grace. That we serve a big God who is full of grace and mercy, and if we ask him and let him and depend on him, then he forgives us and he uses us, and even when we mess up, those can become teaching points to our kids.
And it also, in the middle of that daily, when we are messing up, we feel like failures. We feel like there's more to do than what I'm able to do. In a good way, that is a reminder that we need Jesus. Like, we didn't just need him to be saved. No, we need him each and every moment of each and every day. And when we show that to our kids, because I think we talked about this recently, our kids and families, they do often see the worst of us. That they see us, they see all of our flaws. And when we try and pretend like we don't have them, that's not living out the gospel in our home, when we embrace them and confess them, repent of them, even in the context of our family, it reminds them, hey, Jesus is the hero here. Dad needs Jesus. Mom needs Jesus. And it never stops. And the good thing is, he always meets us with the grace and the mercy that we need.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest things I had to unlearn when I was growing up is I always kind of grew up, and my dad in particular had this mindset. And I think I might be reading into this. This just could be my perspective growing up. But as a kid growing up, I always thought that parents just don't apologize to their kids. That, to like it was almost like there was a battle, like a struggle. And if you admit that you're wrong or weak or apologize, then you're losing. You're giving the kids ammunition. We're gonna eat you alive. And I just have come to realize that that's just so wrong. That whenever we sin in front of our kids or sin against our kids, when we say something unkind about our spouse or something, I'm not confessing to all of you guys, okay? But I am saying I am human. That owning up to that, pulling your kid aside, if you've blasted them in front of the family, apologize in front of the family. Like showing what repentance looks like is a powerful teaching. It's humbling. Oh my gosh, it's so humbling. But I think it's a good thing. I think it's an overall good thing. And then whenever your kid says, you're like, okay, go apologize to them. You're not telling them to do something that you haven't already modeled for them.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's why I just keep going back to this idea of if we're going to be people who live out the gospel, we have to get used to saying, I messed up. I need Jesus. And I think many times in church world, and especially when it comes to our home, is we forget that in a practical way. And we almost convince or trick ourselves that, hey, I got this. I need to make it look like I've got it all figured out. I need to make it look like I've got this all together. I don't want people to doubt me. And while there's some truth in, not always looking like you're falling apart, there's also some freedom in being able to say, hey, I messed up and I need Jesus to forgive me, and I'm asking you to forgive me as well. That shows our families that we really do trust Jesus when we live in a vulnerable state like that.
Definitely. There's one other part about the verse and that I wanted to bring out before we kind of close it up, but it says, let us not grow weary in doing good. Don't give up during the grind. When we mess up, when we miss a couple days, when something happens, apologize. When we blow it, apologize. But don't give up the grind, because it says, for in due season we will reap. And I'm just again reminded that that the little things add up to big things over time. Like if you're just had a baby, if you bring home a baby from the hospital today, you've got at least 18 years, Lord willing, with that child under your roof. These days you might have 28 years with that child under your roof. And even when they move away and start their own family, so you're still going to be their parent. You're still gonna the your influence changes, but your role doesn't, or the way that that role plays out changes. But you're still always going to be that mom. You're always still going to be their dad, and those times where you nail it, those times when you're tired, and you choose to be faithful instead of being lazy, when you choose to be when you actually get it. Those times add up and end up paying big dividends. It's like a compounding thing that builds up over time too. And I take a lot of encouragement from that.
No, I think that is a really good point, because even with the imagery that is used in this verse to reap a harvest, you think about that. You start with a seed and you're watering it, you're caring for it, and you can go out the next day and it's just a piece of dirt, and it can get discouraging if you're just looking at it. But as you look back over those years of faithfulness, cultivating, watering, and all of those things, that harvest becomes more than probably what we even thought possible. And so those little things of praying with our kids, loving them, being vulnerable and confessing sin together as a family, worshiping together. You know, one time may be awful, but one time over the course, or once a week over the course of 18 years, that has an impact, and we can't diminish that.
Absolutely. And another really crazy thing about this is these are little things. Like, if you go on social media, you're like, how do you get the grind? How do you succeed? It's like, get up at 4 in the morning and eat a dozen eggs, which we can't even afford to do anymore, and go to the gym for an hour and a half and do 30 minutes of meditation, and then go for a walk, and then spend an hour on facial razor, and then go to work at 7 in the morning and work till 9 o'clock at night and do all this stuff to make. That's cr never going to happen. It's crazy. This is when you have breakfast with your family or you have dinner with your family, pray. Like, not just the normal prayer that everybody prays, but like, take a second and say, hey, we're going to thank God for something cool today. What are we thanking God for? We have a need. What are we going to pray for? Share a verse. We actually have a whole series, a backlog of these episodes
We
where
do.
we spend about 7 episodes on how to have a family worship, and it's not as hard as you think. We'll probably revisit some of that at some point in time. There's a new resource that we're using that I kind of want to talk about in one of these future episodes, but little things matter. Little wins add up over time. So don't beat yourself up if you're not all of a sudden a spiritual ninja overnight.
Yeah. And, you know, we can't ever get away from the fact that we're doing all of these things in faith.
Absolutely.
And I think one of the cautions that I have to give myself a lot is when I read, "We will reap a harvest," I start thinking what that harvest is going to look like. And if I'm not careful, I'll create an idol of what I think the harvest ought to be.
Yes.
And I think with our kids, we do the same thing. Like we're doing all these things, and in our mind, like we've figured out this is what my kid's going to be. This is what my family is going to look like. And the truth is, I don't know that.
Yeah.
I've been called to be faithful in doing the things of obedience and trust God with the rest.
Hey, the Pharisees thought Jesus was going to be like a military commander. He was supposed to be rich and powerful and beat up the Romans and sell establish Israel as a nation permanently. And then when Jesus actually came, they rejected him because he didn't match up to their idea and conform to their thoughts. It's an easy trap for us to fall into if maybe God wants your kids, your harvest, to maybe look different than what you have in mind.
Yeah. And that's a good thing to remember because it would be a shame. And this happens when we miss what God is doing in the lives of our family, all because we can't get past this concept and dream we have in our head. And we miss what God has for us, or at least miss enjoying it, at least.
Absolutely. Well, and I also want to just maybe end with this, but like chapter, we're reading out of Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6 comes after Galatians 5, which is a good theological point
Yes.
because Galatians 5 ends with the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience. Patience is another word for endurance, kindness. Like, this is when the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul tells us to embrace the grind, to not give up, to don't be weary, and to have faith. He's only telling us this after he already told us to pursue the Holy Spirit's work in us, which is going to pursue, give us the strength and the attributes that we're going to need to make that grind happen.
And that's a good word as we finish up here, is to remember that, man, if you're depending on you and whatever TikTok video you saw that's going to help you do this,
Wake up at 3:30 in the morning. Don't even go to sleep. Don't even go to sleep. Just do it. Come on.
and I think that's where verse 8 helps and reminds us, whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction, but whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And life is only found by trusting God more than we trust the TikTok video or the Instagram reel or whatever else we've read. And I think that's a good word for us if we're going to live out this verse in the context of our home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, this has been fun. But now I got to go back to the grind.
That's right. And Joe is getting up at 3 a.m., eating a dozen eggs, and walking 2 miles.
I'm much more likely to be game at 3 a.m. because I ate a dozen wings the night before and it didn't work out for me.
Oh, well, on that note, guys, thank you so much for listening. As we have said in the past, laundry is always there, yard work never stops, but the love of the Lord never ends. We hope you all have a great day.
Bye.